We're in Romans chapter 5. If you're a guest with us, maybe first time in a long time, pastor's in a series through the book of Romans. We're preaching one message out of each chapter, beginning 5 weeks ago, chapter 1, 2, 3, 4. We come to chapter 5 today. Now, next Sunday, we're going to be in chapter 6. Now, listen up. Listen right here. Next Sunday is a day like we've never had before at Olive. We're going to come in this service, and we're going to have about one song, and then I'm going to preach. And then I'm going to go out the door. And then we're going to turn worship upside down, and we're going to do a little music, take the offering at the end of the service. And that'll give me time to get out in a car and drive to Warrington, where I'm going to preach at the Warrington campus after we have the Lord's Supper. And then we're going to put it up on these screens, and we're going to do at 11 o'clock here what we normally do down there, because we're capturing this service that'll be shown in just about an hour down at the Warrington campus. And next week is our one-year anniversary of doing that and opening that second campus. We'll baptize. Don't miss this. Next Sunday, all goes well, we'll baptize our 40th person down there on that second campus in a year. That is incredible. About 200 people a week meeting down, I think at 187, something like that last week, but about 200 on an average that we have there. And so to our Warrington campus, looking forward to being with you next week. We'll fellowship around the Lord's table there, and then we'll preach and have a great celebration after church there on that campus. So you be here, be in your place, and be a part of that next week. Well, we're in Romans chapter 5, and this morning I want to read the first 11 verses in a message that I've simply entitled, The Benefits of Justification. Romans chapter 5, I began reading in verse 1. Romans 5, verse 1, therefore, now we always know, when we find that word, we ask what it's there for. Well, it always looks back, and it looks back to chapter 4, talking about our salvation, our justification. And Paul says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we also have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we exult in a hope of the glory of God. And not only this, but we also exult in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, and perseverance, proven character, and proven character, hope. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. For while we were still helpless, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. For one will hardly die for a righteous man, though perhaps for the good man someone would dare even to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through him. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only this, but we also exult in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we now have received the reconciliation. Verse 12 begins a transition. Up until this time, Paul's been talking about our salvation, our reconciliation, our justification. Next week, we're going to transition into sanctification, and how God begins that process. These 11 verses look back and look in at the benefits of justification. You know, there's certain benefits that come to you different times in your life. Remember when those of you I look out, and many of you can barely remember, but you remember when you turned 16? At 15, you got that permit, but at 16, if you could pass the test, you got your driver's license, a benefit of being 16. You turn 18, some benefits come. They move you into really adulthood. Fill out papers in case the draft is reinstituted. You step into adulthood. If 55, you get a card. You get a discount. You don't want to be a senior adult except that you take the discount. Benefits at 55. Now, there are not benefits at driving over 55, but there are benefits of being 55, all right? 62, some of you cashed in, started getting your Social Security check. It's a benefit to turn 62 if you'd paid in. You turn 65, Medicare. Part A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, P. All those parts. If you turn 100, send you a picture in it, put you on the Today Show. Different age, different benefits. Well, when you step into the age of grace, there's some benefits. He says in verse 1, therefore, having been justified, dikaio, justified. It's a judicial word. When you are justified, your sin is absolved. You're acquitted of your past. Hallelujah. Some of you guys need that worse than others. Amen. That God puts it behind his back and says he remembers it no more. Not even if it's in your high school yearbook, God doesn't remember. I got my yearbook out this week and looked through there. I did. I told my wife, I said, maybe we should burn this. I'm not sure. Justification takes your past sinful life and it absolves you, it acquits you, it pardons you, and it frees you. Thank God for the age of grace. Can I get a witness for grace? Amen. Thank God for grace. For by grace are you saved, are you justified, are you resolved, are you reconciled? Amen. You are made one with God. Now let me tell you, friend, you can be salvation. People have two mindsets about being saved. Some people think you get saved by trying. Some people believe you get saved by trusting. Those that don't read the Bible believe you get saved by trying. Let me tell you, those that read the Word of God know you get saved by trusting. Your trying is not enough. You're not saved by works, but by grace. And you are once justified, always justified. You become the child of God. You've been forgiven. You've been pardoned. You've been acquitted. You are free, 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 free indeed. And Paul then begins to lay out what I call the benefits of justification. Seven of them that I find in these 11 verses. So I want to just give them to you, like skipping a rock across a pond this morning. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. And just talk about these for if you're in Christ. Now, friend, if you've never been saved, if you're in a place where you're trying but you've never trusted, I'm going to give an invitation in a moment. I'm going to ask you to walk right here and say yes to Christ, or out there in the foyer at the Next Step tables. If you're on our Warrington campus today, there are tables in the back. Brother Mike, Brother John, others will be there. You walk back there and they'll talk to you about how you can invite Christ to step out of heaven, step into your heart, to come to that place of being justified. Having your name in the Lamb's Book of Life and knowing it, being born again. Call it whatever you want to, but you've come to Christ and he has saved you. When that happens, there's a lot of things that transpire and things become beneficial. There's seven of them that I believe Paul mentions in this text. So let's see them together this morning. Number one, the first benefit of justification is peace. Notice it in verse number one. Having been justified, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to me. You need peace with God because Romans chapter 8 and verse number 7 tells us when you are not saved, you are hostile toward God. You are at odds with God. You have a hostility within your heart because the mindset on the flesh is hostile toward God, for it does not subject itself to the law of God, for it is not even able to do so. You are the enemy of God, according to Romans chapter 5 in verse number 10. We read it right here in our text. Notice it. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God. Friend, if you're not saved, you're hostile to God. If you're not saved, you're an enemy of God. But when you come to be justified, two come together and peace is there. And Paul says when you put on the full armor of God, you put on the breastplate that is there of righteousness, and you put on the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, and thirdly, you put on the shoes of what? Peace. Your feet are shod with the gospel of peace. And you also pick up the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. But your feet are shod with peace. That means you can stand firm knowing God knows you and you know God. Now listen, there is a difference in having peace with God and having the peace of God. The peace of God will come through the sanctification process. But let me tell you, when all hell breaks out in your life, you're at peace with God, but sometimes you're wondering, boy, do I have the peace of God? You need that to settle because it's the peace of God that rules your heart. But in the justification process, you are at peace with God. I remember in our first little church, my wife was the choir director. We didn't have anybody else to do it. Certainly didn't have anybody could do it as well as she could do it. And one of the first songs that she taught, I'd never heard this song. I'm in the country, and we sang out a little Redback book and a Broadman hymnal, and we did it. But she grew up in town, and they did some songs we didn't do. And she taught the choir, I'll never forget that old song she taught the choir, "Nothing Between My Soul and the Savior." Boy, I listened to that morning. I said, now that's it right there. I said, for city singing, that's pretty good. Nothing between my soul and the Savior. I'm not hostile. I'm not an enemy. God and I are on the same team because He came to where I was and saved me. He just does. Let me tell you, friend, the first thing that you get is the peace with God. Number two, you get access to God. Access. Let's look at it right here in verse number two. Through whom we also have obtained our introduction. This word, this Greek word, prosagios, is used three times in the Greek New Testament. Only three times. It's used right here, through whom we also have obtained our introduction. And then in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 18, the Bible says, through Him we both have our, there's that word, access in one spirit to the Father. Paul used again Ephesians 3 and verse number 12, in whom we have boldness and confident access through faith to Him. Here we use it as we've been introduced. And then Paul says we have access. Let me tell you, when you come to Christ, you have peace with God, but then you have access. You've been introduced to God. Let me tell you, you ought to know Him on a first name basis. And when you have access, that means you're a prayer warrior. That means you're crying out to God. You have access. Run to Him at any time because the Son has introduced us to the Father. I read a story in an old sermon book this week back in old days of English history, where a little boy was standing outside of the palace wanting to see the Queen of England. And of course, he couldn't get in. I've been there and I couldn't get in. But that little dirty-faced boy, the guard told him to get away, and he was crying. And then a man walked by and said, "Son, what do you want?" And he said, "I want to see the Queen. If they won't let me in." He said, "Take my hand." And they walked in and all those guards backed up. Well, you know exactly what happened. That was the Son of the Queen. Let me tell you, friend, you've got access to the Father. Why? Because the Son has taken you by the hand, and He takes you straight to the throne, and you have access. Introduction. And the Son says to the Father, "This is my job." It's a benefit of being justified. You ought to be praying. I finished a book this week. Matter of fact, I finished it on the plane flying back here from a meeting where I was preaching. It's called Fearless Prayer by our friend Greg Hazen. Greg's been here before. Craig Hazen has been here. He teaches and preaches at Biola out on the California coast. This little book, I'm telling you, Fearless Prayer is absolutely marvelous. In this book, Craig said he talked to a man who came from Kazakhstan. He asked him, he said, why is it that you pray with more fervency in your country than we pray in ours? And he said, the man looked at him, he said, well, in America, you have 911. We don't have 911. He said, what? He said, yeah, you just call on man where we have to call on God. Now, Craig went on to say he's not against 911. We ought to use every tool that God's given us. But there are times when 911 won't do it, and you ought to come in fearless prayer, and you can. Why? Because you have access. You've got access. God lets you in. Talk to him. Why in the world are we so prayerless? Oh, God, we ought to pray with the disciples. Lord, teach us to pray. Number one, we have peace. Number two, we have access. Number three, we have hope. Look at it in verse number two. We exult in hope of the glory of God. Do you know what our world looks for today? I'm telling you, America is starving for it. The nations are starving for it. They are starving for hope. Titus 2 says that we are looking for the glorious appearing and the blessed hope of the return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Romans 8 and verse 28 says that we know that God causes all things to work together for good for those who love God, called according to his purpose. That's the hope of God. Romans 8 and verse 39, a height nor depth nor any other created thing to be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's hope. That's hope. That's hope. Bernard Shaw was an old atheist. He hated God, hated the church. But when he came to die, Bernard Shaw said, you're looking at an atheist who's lost his faith. Why is that? Because when he came to die, he didn't have anything. He had nothing. He was hopeless. Let me tell you, when you're justified with God, friend, death is the gate that opens to the greatest hope in all the world. This world is really just the powder room getting ready for real living. You're just kind of passing through for a little while here. And some of you guys better get with it because you're getting close to the door. No man knows the time. But I'm telling you, there's great hope. There's hope. There is the hope of the glory of God. There's peace, there's access, there's hope. Number four, there's triumph, there's triumph. Look at it right here, verses 3, 4, and 5. And not only this, but we exult. While we exult in the hope, we also exult in our tribulations, in our thalipsis, that pressing together. It's the word pressure is the word thalipsis, our tribulation, where life starts squeezing you. And we know that tribulation brings about perseverance, proven character, hope. And hope does not disappoint because the love of God's been poured out within us. We triumph. You said trouble brings out the best in a Christian. Trouble does. Yes, sir. Why? Because we've got hope. We know that tribulation leads to perseverance, and perseverance to proven character, and proven character to hope. One writer I read this week said there are four stages of this. It's all in the process. He said, first, the melting process. God has to melt you. He said, secondly, there's the mellowing process where God softens you. He said, thirdly, there's the molding process where God begins to reshape you. And then he said, fourthly, there's the maturation process where God begins to mature you in your faith. All that comes through tribulation. It's a melting and a mellowing and a molding and a maturing. One of our staff members this week, it's been tragic. Many of you have prayed with them. They've been rather private about it, but expecting a baby and carried that baby to term, and the doctors had told them that the baby probably wouldn't make it if they had 30 minutes with the child. But tell you, beloved, that's tribulation. That's tribulation. Tribulation leads to perseverance. That perseverance proves your character. And that character yields hope. Somebody asked me, he said, Pastor, you're going to try to speak when they have that private time for burial that baby. He said, what are you going to say? I said, well, there's just one text to turn to. When David's baby died, the Bible says David went to the temple, wept, then washed his face. He said, I cannot bring that child back to me, but I can go to where that child is. Hope. Hope. Amen. And I know some people say it was pie in the sky and it's preacher talking. But let me tell you, that little baby's better off than anybody in this room. I'm telling you the truth. It's one of the benefits of justification. Triumph. Number five is love. Love. Look at verse number five. And hope does not disappoint because the love of God's been poured out within our hearts. That's God's love toward us. And that's God's love within us. And I want you to do something for me right now. I want you just to look around at the people, Nick, just sitting around. I want you just to look around. Look around. It's okay. You've been wanting to, so look over there. I can't believe she wore that week four last. And we're talking about love now, all right? Just look around. I want you to look. I want you to just see all those people around you. Just look around. Do you know that God loves those people more than you do? God loves that person. Now, quit looking at them. I want you to turn your eye. I want you to look at yourself. Just think about yourself. Just, you're good at that, so just think about yourself. God loves you more than you love you. It's one of the benefits of justification. It's the love of God that's poured out within our hearts. It's the love of God toward us, but then it's the love of God within us, and that leads us to the sixth benefit, which is the Holy Spirit, that he says that the love is poured out within us through the Holy Spirit. This is the first time the Holy Spirit's mentioned in the book of Romans. Took him five chapters to get here. But when you get to chapter 8, you know, I preached through chapter 8 a few years ago. There's a lot of great messages on that if you want to go to the library. 20 times in the 8th chapter, it's Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost. 20 times when he moves into sanctification. But here's the first time. And one of the benefits of justification is that the Holy Ghost lives in you. He says it right here in verse number 5. In your heart through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Notice not it was given, but who was given. The person of the Holy Spirit was given to us. Let me tell you, friend, when you got justified, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God moved into you. He moved in. He's in you. You say he's not in me, then you're going to hell when you die. You're lost. Your spirit's dead, but when you get justified, your spirit is raised from the dead. And the Spirit of Almighty God, he moves in and he seals us and empowers us and comforts us. And then, bless God, he employs us. There's a lady, she may be in this service. I don't know. I'd never met her before this morning. She came, she's in a wheelchair. She gave me this little bracelet. She said, I talked to people about Jesus, and she told me how many thousands of these she'd given away. And she put it on. She wasn't good at my hands. She won't put it on me. I said, well, you can put it on me, but I'm going to take it off because I ain't wearing that. It's got a pearl on it. And I said, that's too sweet for me, but I give it to my wife. What she's trying to say is, friend, the pearl of great price was given for us. Sweet lady in that wheelchair, she's employed. She's full time working. Let me tell you, friend, when the Spirit of God's in you, he's not only sealed you until the day of redemption, he empowers you for the day you have to walk through. He comforts you when you walk in difficulty. And I'm telling you, he employs you every day of your life. There is in this text peace and access and hope and triumph and love and the Holy Spirit. But now number 7, and you got to give me just a little more time. there's much more. Much more. Says it twice in the text. Look at it in verse number 9. Much more then. Much more than what? Much more in all of this. Having now been justified by His blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through Him. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, what's those two words? Much more. Having been reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. Now listen, but turn your ears on. Now look right here at the pastor. Listen to me. I'm going to teach you a truth. You get saved by the death of Christ. That's how you get saved. Jesus died for you. But now, much more. I'm about to have a spell right here. Much more. Now look at it. Look at it. Don't miss it. You've been saved by His grace. But much more, having now been justified by His blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through Him. Much more. So first of all, the much more says you've been saved by grace, but then you're assured that you're going to heaven and you're going to miss the wrath of God. You don't want to go to hell when you die. You don't want to. But that's not even the best news. Verse 10. For while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son. See, we got saved by His death. Now watch this. Look at your text. Much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. Now look at this. We shall miss wrath, but we shall be saved because Jesus is still alive. This is the resurrection passage. And not only this, but we shall exult in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, whom we have now received the reconciliation. It's the Jesus life. Listen to me, church. Look right here. Listen. Don't act like you've heard this before, because you hadn't. I've been preaching here 28 years. You hadn't heard this. You may have heard it somewhere else. You may have read it on your own, but listen to me. Jesus, He died for you. When He saved you, the Holy Spirit of God came and Jesus went, and now He's praying for you. And because He is alive, we are saved and victorious in this present life because He's praying for us. And He walks among us. Yes, He does. He's not dead. Jesus is alive. Say, Jesus is alive. Say it one more time. Jesus is alive. And let me tell you, friend, if He's alive, that's a game changer. He lived, He died, and His Spirit, but I'm telling you, He prays for us at the throne, but He walks among us. He does His work because of His life. It's the Jesus life. It's revolutionary. Some Baptists have never gotten this. I had a guy walk in this morning. He's a Pentecostal. He comes to church here now. He said, I grew up a Pentecostal. He said, you've almost got it. Well, I want to say to you, dear sir, I don't almost got it. I have got it. I got it when Jesus saved me. I run into Jesus every morning. He's alive. He is in my study this morning over at 1235 Finley Drive. I sat down in my chair at 5:15 and Jesus was already there. I didn't have to go hunt Him. He is waiting on me to get up this morning. He was there saying, where have you been, son? You overslept a little bit this morning. Open the Word of God and let's talk. I began to walk through Isaiah in the chapters that God had for me to read this morning. I got to a verse over there that said, oh, that the fathers are blessed by the obedience of the sons. I picked up my phone. I sent my son a text. I said to him this morning, I'm blessed because you're walking in obedience to what God has told you to do. How in the world do I have, I get victory because I read the Word of God, find the truth of God, apply it to my own nasty life, and then let the Spirit of God root out everything that's not of Him and get the dross out of me and let the purity of the Jesus life come through. That's how you're supposed to live. is the Jesus life to come through you. That's part of the benefit of being justified. He died, he rose, he's at the throne, but I'm just telling you, because he is alive, we much more. It's the much more. Most Baptists I meet are like that Pentecostal saw us this morning. Most Baptists I meet say, I got saved and I'm doing the best I can till I get to die and go to heaven. You be miserable. I've lived in the best I can do and it ain't much. I've preached in the best I can do and I can tell you right now it falls right off the end of the pulpit. It don't even make it to row one. But the much more. The much more is the Jesus life. Yeah. It's what that little old lady said to me when I walked down and when they ordained me at the Pisgah Church and that old woman walked by. She's in heaven now. It's what Steve and his grandmother, my grandmother, raised him, took care of him since he was a pup. It's what she told me, Steve. That day I went by and she said, I hear you've been called to preach. I said, yes, ma'am. She took that big old King James Bible, Scofield reference, said, this is the book. I said, yes, ma'am. She said, no, you hadn't heard me. I'll never forget what Grandmother Bowman told me. She said, we don't care what you think. She said, if God's called you to preach, tell us what he says. We don't care what you think. Change my life from that day to this. She's right. It's the Jesus life. It's what he thinks. It don't matter what you think. Get over yourself. Get dead. Remember, I preached a whole sermon on that a while back. Died to self. And the Jesus, much more, somebody say much more. Much more, that's what it is. It's the benefit of being justified. It's much more. Justification, some of you have never been saved. You've never been justified. Say, how do you know? I can tell by looking at you. You don't have a clue. You got religion, you just never met the Jesus of the Bible. Justification. When you receive justice, it's an immediate gift. When you say, Lord, I want it, right then, you don't have to work for it. You don't have to fill out a form. Now, you got to fill out something to join this church. But if you want to get saved, you get saved right now. Boom. It's an immediate gift. It's a perfect gift, and it's a permanent gift. That's what justification is. And you must receive the gift. Tonight, I'm going to sit right here, and my good friend from India, Libya Payan, is going to sit with me, and I'm going to interview her in our evening service. It's been a few years. Libya's been out to see us for 3 or 4 days. Love this sweet girl. She'll tell you tonight how God gave her grace when her husband died on the mission field. She's left all alone. Well, she really wasn't left all alone because her father wasn't dead. Much more. Well, when Libya comes, she always brings gifts. And she brought gifts this time. She always does. And so she brought me cookies. And they're good. Well, let me rephrase. They were good. But she brought extra gifts this time because of the little girl that was standing right over here on the front row, my little Catherine. She brought gifts for Rachel and for the two girls. And so yesterday, she had the presents. And grandchildren are big on presents. They're big on opening presents. As a matter of fact, they'd rather open them as have them. And so Catherine got hers. And then she said, can I open these? I said, that's not for you. She said, "Can I help open these?" "You have to get permission of your little sister." "You want me to help you open it?" "No." They opened their gifts. Isn't it great when a kid's eyes sparkle when they get a gift? There's a little box, paper mache box painted, that they could put special things in, like this little bracelet. Have you ever opened the gift? God sets it before you today. And he says, if you will receive it by faith, just open it. Receive it. I'll be your Savior. All these benefits, they come along with it. But you got to open the gift. Some of y'all like Catherine, but I'm sorry. No one else can open it for you. Not your mama, not your sister, not your brother, not your daddy. You, God loves you. Will you open that gift today? And will you simply say, "Lord, I receive you.